No, the strait's going to be open to everybody. It's
And who would control
it? It's international waters. Nobody's going to control it. We're going to watch over it. We'll watch over it, but nobody's going to control it. That's part of the negotiation that we have. They would like to control it. Nobody's going to control it. It's international waters, and Oman will behave just like everybody else, and we'll have to blow them up. They understand that. They'll be fine.
This is my video update on this Thursday afternoon, May the 28th, coming to you from Moskva. Let's talk about some news. And before we get started with today's news stories, I would like to say a quick thank you to everyone that is liking these videos. Thank you to everyone that is subscribed to this channel or will subscribe to this channel. Thank you very much. And thank you to all of those that are commenting down below. I love to read everyone's comments. And of course, we can never forget everyone that is hyping. Gotta love them hypes. Not sure what the hype does, but man, the hype is oh so cool. So thank you so much to everyone that is hyping this video. A liking and a hyping. So let's talk about some news. And today we are trying to get to the island in Moscow. We got to cross over the river, find the bridge, cross over the river and get to the island. I'm in an area called Daganskaya and I'm looking for the bridge. And I think I have found the bridge. I hope this is the right bridge. And I think this will get me to the island. And we will talk about some news as we cross over the bridge. Let's start things off with Iran. An update on what is going on in Iran. In my video update yesterday, I mentioned that the IRGC had put out a statement where they said that they do not believe the United States and Israel will resume military activities against Iran. But if the military strikes do happen, then the IRGC said that they are ready and prepared. So that was the statement from Iran yesterday. And sure enough, as night follows day, as Alexander likes to say, we got a strike from the U.S. military into Iran. They hit some military, the U.S. claims that they hit some military installations in the Strait of Hormuz around that area. And they hit these targets out of self-defense. This is the second or the third time that the Trump White House is running with this self-defense explanation. And the U.S. military also said that these strikes against these targets in and around Hormuz does not signify that the ceasefire has collapsed. It does not mean that the ceasefire is over or has been broken, because it was an act of self-defense. That's what they're running with now. They're going to, it looks like they're going to hit Iran with airstrikes every couple of days. And then they're just going to say self-defense, the ceasefire still holds. Now, how long they'll be able to go with this? I don't think for very long, because Iran, they retaliated to this self-defense strike immediately. And Iran, they hit a U.S. airbase in Kuwait. An immediate retaliation. Breaking, Iran's IRGC releases a statement saying that it has retaliated to the U.S. strike on an Iranian military position in the Strait of Hormuz by attacking a U.S. airbase in Kuwait. In their statement, the IRGC says, aggression will not go unanswered. There you have it. An immediate retaliation. Iran's not buying the self-defense narrative. So Israel is pummeling South Lebanon. They're really hitting South Lebanon very hard. And according to Israeli authorities, they are declaring South Lebanon a combat zone. And this is not going to help further along any alleged negotiation or memorandum of understanding that might be taking place between the United States and Iran with the mediation of Pakistan, because one of the key central terms from Iran to the United States is that any ceasefire also has to encompass Lebanon as well. There has to be a secession to any military activity and hostility towards Lebanon if we are ever going to get to a signed MOU and a 60-day ceasefire, which will lead to some sort of a negotiation on uranium enrichment. So Trump is not, obviously Trump is not demanding that Netanyahu stop military activities in Lebanon, which effectively means that the Trump administration is really not looking seriously towards any type of 60-day ceasefire. They're not serious about a 60-day end to whatever hostilities are going on, or signing an MOU or anything like that. If the Trump White House was serious, they would tell Israel to stop attacking Lebanon. Israel claims that they are hitting southern Lebanon very hard as they are going after Hezbollah leadership. But look, one of the key demands from Iran is that Lebanon stops. Israel's attack into Lebanon stops. If that doesn't happen, then we're not going to have any kind of progress in all of this, which is probably what the Trump administration is really looking to do, just kind of looking to buy time and to outlast Iran, believing that eventually if they can win the waiting game, Iran will collapse, their economy will collapse, or something like that will happen. Maybe degrade Hezbollah and squeeze the Iranian economy will lead to some sort of a full-on regime change. So it's a type of waiting game from the Trump administration. That's most likely what the strategy is. And speaking of regime change, Trump was in the Oval Office speaking to reporters. And he was asked about the military operation against Iran and what's going on there. And Trump said that this did not start as a regime change operation, which is a lie. This absolutely was about regime change. But he said, look, this wasn't about regime change when it started, but it is now. It is now a regime change, is what Trump said. A successful regime change. He said that the regime has changed once, twice, three times because of the decapitation strikes, the assassination against Iranian leaders. So for Trump, the assassination of the Iranian leadership is effectively a successful regime change, which it's not, because the regime is effectively the same. Just because you took out the leadership, or according to Trump, you've taken out the leadership three times over. And Trump also said that the new leadership is much better than the old leadership. But anyway, just because you've killed the people and you've assassinated the people, it doesn't mean the regime has changed. Actually, what you've got now is is a more hardline regime. You don't have the moderate regime that was in place. Many people believed it was a moderate regime. But now you have a much more hardline, more dedicated, more dug in regime than what you had before. So I would say this has actually been a reverse regime change, if there's such a thing. Instead of dismantling the regime, you've actually toughened it up. So a big difference between assassinating the leadership and getting a regime change. But anyway, that's what Trump was saying to the media as he was taking questions. He then went on to talk about the uranium enrichment. He was asked, am I going the right way? I think I'm going the right way. Am I on the islands? People living in Moscow, am I on the islands? I don't know. I don't know if I am. So he was asked about the uranium enrichment and if he would be okay with China or Russia taking the uranium. Easy peasy. That's how you solve the whole uranium thing, right? It can be solved in 24 hours. You give over the uranium, which according to Trump has been obliterated and is nothing more than dust. So you pick up that dust, you put it in a couple of bags, and you fly them over to Russia or to China. War is over, right? Hormuz opens, blockade is lifted. We're all good. But nope, Trump said, nah, I'm not going to go for that. I want the uranium dust to be in the United States. So he shot that idea down, which also indicates that he's not serious about ending the hostilities or coming to some sort of a 60-day ceasefire MOU. And then he said the most interesting, shocking thing in this discussion with the media. A lot of people are talking about Trump's next statement, where he said that if Oman does not behave, the United States may have to blow them up. That is what Trump said. If Oman does not behave, the U.S. may have to blow them up. Let me read you the full statement so we get context to this quote from Trump. Maybe that will be my intro video. Maybe that will be my intro, this statement from Trump. So I'll read you what he said. And this is coming from the Department of State on X. President Trump, the strait is going to be open to everybody. It's international waters. We'll watch over it, but nobody's going to control it. Oman will behave like everybody else, or we'll have to blow them up. They understand that. So much to say with this statement from Trump. Let's go somewhere a bit more quiet, away from the traffic. Sometimes I have a hard time concentrating with the noise of the cars and the traffic. I stumble a bit as I go through the news. But I try. And Trump's statement where he says that the Strait of Hormuz is international waters. No, it's not. It is not international waters. Maybe there's a couple of inches or centimeters that could be defined as international waters. But Iran has part of the strait, and Oman has the other part of the strait. And Oman and Iran, they are talking about monitoring the Strait of Hormuz and collecting an environmental protection fee for the ships that pass, which I would think that the globalists, because they're so obsessed with the environment and carbon tax and green energy and all of these things, that they would be delighted with the idea from Iran and Oman to impose an environmental protection fee. I would think that they would be cheering such an initiative on, but they're not. Anyway, look, international waters, it is not. So we can start there. And then Trump says, we'll watch over it, but nobody's going to control it. What a revealing statement from the US president, huh? We'll watch over it, but no one's going to control it. They will control it, is basically what Trump is saying. We want to control it, we'll control it. Pretty revealing statement from Trump there. And then, of course, he says that he'll blow Oman up. Quite a comment, considering that it was Oman that was mediating between the United States and Iran before the war broke out. And Oman actually had done good mediation because they had a deal with regards to the enriched uranium. It was, according to Oman, it was Witkoff and Kushner who allegedly did not understand the concessions that Iran had made in order to prevent a war. And they relayed the wrong information to Trump. And because they didn't have an understanding of what was agreed on with the uranium, and we got the U.S. attack, if you want to believe the story that Witkoff and Kushner simply did not understand what concessions Iran was making. But look, Oman, they did their job when they were mediating. They actually got a deal. They got an understanding with the uranium. But we didn't get a full deal. They just got some sort of an understanding between the two parties. And unfortunately, there was miscommunication, maybe. I doubt it. I don't think there was miscommunication. Oh, wow. What a beautiful church. Let me show you guys. Can you see it? An amazing church. Let me zoom in. Okay. Let's try to get closer. We don't need to try. We can get closer. What am I saying? Try to get closer. We will get closer. Okay. So quite a statement from Trump, has everyone talking. The whole Oman thing. He did say that Oman, that they will understand that. So it's all about behavior too. They need to behave. One thing I notice is that with the United States, it's about behavior. With the EU, it's about values. The values, it's all about values. That's what's important. The EU values. If you're not subscribed to the EU values, then you're enemy number one. You're bad. The United States is more about behavior. If you don't behave the way they want you to behave, then you're bad. So let's talk about Le Goblin Vert and Project Ukraine. So Zelensky, he sent a letter to Trump, begging Trump for air defense interceptors, for Patriot interceptors. And when I use the word begging, pleading, that's what the collectivist mainstream media is saying. Not Alex. Zelensky sent a letter begging, pleading for Patriot interceptors. An admission that Ukraine is out of interceptors. And he's talking about interceptors for Kiev. That's what he's worried about. The interceptors that have been kind of protecting Kiev, because let's be honest, there are no interceptors that are going to be able to stop the hypersonic missiles, the Oreshniks and the other Russian hypersonic missiles. There's no Patriot interceptor that's going to be able to effectively stop those weapons. But he is asking the United States, he is pleading, begging the Trump administration for some help. So So demilitarization, no more interceptors, even in the capital of Ukraine. One strike into Kiev, one big strike that was very effective into Kiev, and the whole narrative about Ukraine is possibly winning, or the tide has turned. They told us the tide has turned. Ukraine's going to win this thing. That's what they've been telling us for the past 3 months, right? The mainstream media, the cool kids in Brussels, the leaders of the collective West. Ukraine's going to win this thing. They're going to win it. And you get one strike, one, into Kiev, and the whole narrative about Ukraine is turning the tide has completely unraveled. And you get a letter from Zelensky to Trump begging for some sort of help. Now, will the United States be able to send, 1 second, that's where we got to get to. I wasn't planning to go to this church, but that's become, I guess, the new mission. I'm going to have to cross the bridge again. Okay, anyway, it is what it is. So it's probably long. Is it a long walk? I think I can get there in 10 minutes, 15 minutes. So Ukraine is turning the tide. Forget about that. This is an admission from Zelensky that there's no tide that is turning, and Ukraine, including the capital, Kiev, is now very vulnerable, extremely vulnerable. Maybe not even to hypersonic missiles anymore, but you could even say drones as well, right? So will the United States hand over Patriot interceptors? No, doesn't have Patriot interceptors to hand over. We already know that Japan is waiting for Patriots, and the United States told them 2-3 years, 2 years, but that usually means 3-4 years. 2 years is when you're going to see any Patriots coming to Japan. Look, any weapons that the United States has available to send or is currently building in production, it's all going to be allocated to the Middle East, right? So the United States, forget about it. So you know what we're looking at? We're looking at Europe. And we're not looking at European, EU, collective West, UK, Canada, Australia. We're not looking at their inventories, their stockpiles. What the ask is going to be is for the collective West to give up Patriots or interceptors to Ukraine that are currently being used to protect a collective West critical infrastructure. For example, this is just an example, a simple example, right? UK hand over the Patriot interceptors that you have protecting, whatever, something important, Parliament or whatever, right? The same for Germany. Germany, hand over your Patriots, the interceptors that are protecting Berlin. That's going to be the ask. And the Europeans are going to... they're going to debate this one, right? They're going to debate this. And you know what? I would say they're not going to hand over these systems, but they're so desperate and they're in such a panic to keep the war going and to protect Zelensky, to protect Kiev, that they just might. They just might. You know, they allowed Nord Stream to be blown up, and they did and said nothing. So that's where Zelensky's going to get interceptors from. He is not going to get them from the United States. Trump is going to tell Zelensky to buzz off. Or he'll tell Zelensky, speak to our vassals. Maybe they'll hand you something. So Politico, they say Zelensky pleads with Trump for Patriots to fight Russian bombardment. Pleads, that's the word they use. Ukraine wants more missile defense, but the war in the Middle East has driven up demand. That's Politico saying that the United States is not going to allocate Patriots to Ukraine. They're going to go to the Middle East. In a letter sent to U.S. President Trump and Congress on Tuesday, seen by Politico. Ukrainian President Zelensky asked the U.S. for further shipments of its PAC-3 interceptor missiles. This latest request comes just a few days after Kiev was pummeled, interesting choice of words, by Russian ballistic missiles, with Moscow eyeing more attacks soon. For us, for a nation fighting for its survival, there is hardly anything more painful to see than Patriot missiles with no missiles loaded, Zelensky wrote. I ask for your help in protecting Ukraine's guys from Russian missiles. Okay, interesting that Zelensky says missiles, Patriot missiles with Patriot batteries with no missiles loaded. Quite an admission from Le Goblin Vert. And also the choice of words from Politico. Pummeled is what they say by Russian missiles, with Moscow eyeing more attacks soon. The statement from Russia that they're going to target Kiev has really freaked them out. So let's now turn to Kiev, where Zelensky was hanging out for a day. I believe now he is in Sweden, but he was in Kiev for a night. And Dick Blumenthal, senator from, I want to say Connecticut. Am I right about that? Good pals with Lindsey Graham. Dick Blumenthal, he visited Le Goblin Vert. And whenever you have a visitor like Blumenthal taking the midnight train from Poland to Kiev, you know they're scheming something. You know they're planning something bad whenever you have these guys roll into town. And it's not so much Blumenthal that's the issue. It's who's traveling with Blumenthal, what he's bringing with him. Secret plans, CIA assets with him. Who knows, but he's the cover. He's the cover, but it's everyone that's with him on the train or whatever things he's bringing with him on the train that they don't want to deliver or communicate unless it's face-to-face. This signals to me that they are planning and plotting something. So Zelensky met with Blumenthal, who shook everyone's hand. Blumenthal was with another senator and some other people. Hello, hello, Dick. Good to see you in Kiev. And hello to everyone else. Give me a hug. Give me a hug, Dick. And Blumenthal hugged him. And I'm sure Zelensky asked, where's my money? where's my money? Where's my bag? Bring me my bag. Anyway, that's Zelensky. Let's get to the other big story for today, which is Stunning and Brave. Stunning and Brave is in hot water. Yeah, she really messed up. She's trying to be clever. Stunning and Brave, but don't try to be clever. You can't pull it off. But Kaya Kallas, she's in Cyprus, actually. And she's taking part in an EU foreign ministers meeting. And she said that the European embassies, the EU embassies, are going to stay put in Kiev. She said that, with the exception of one. One embassy is being evacuated. And then she revealed that, according to Ukrainian sources, that one embassy is the United States. Yeah, she said that the United States embassy is being evacuated because of the statements from Russia that they're going to now target Kiev. And they have issued a warning or advice. Let's call it advice. That's what Alexandra is calling it, advice to Rubio. And for Rubio to pass it along, that foreigners and diplomats and all these other entities that are hanging around in Kiev, up to no good, that they should evacuate the city because the city will start to be targeted, at least the decision-making centers and military facilities. Get out of Kiev. That was a warning from Russia. And according to Kaya Kallas, the United States is tucking tail and leaving. Now, Kallas, this is a good story. Now, Kallas, she said in her statement, and I'll play you her statement, but I'm going to get this one right. I think I'm going to get this one right as I summarize it. She made it out as if the European countries are being very courageous by remaining in Kiev, and how there is one country that is bolting. That is Audi 5000 and is not showing courage. She actually used the word courage. She said it's very courageous that the European embassies are going to stay in Kiev. And there's one country that will leave Kiev. And according to Ukraine, it's the United States. The United States is leaving. Let me play you her statement just to make sure I got it right. But I know she used the word courage. She's taking a dig. At least that's the way I interpret it. I'm probably wrong. I'm probably wrong about it. But it does seem as if she's taking a dig at the U.S. Probably wrong. Maybe she's upset that Rubio refuses to meet with her. That's probably it. But anyway, let me play you the video. And I'll be back as I wait for the light to turn green.
What we heard from Ukraine yesterday was that all the embassies stayed except one. So that also takes courage from those embassies. But yes, all the European states, America left.
I am back and we're still waiting. But you heard what Kallis said. Now, the interesting part to the story, here's the twist. Immediately after this video went kind of viral, the U.S. Embassy in Kiev, they issued a statement saying the U.S. Embassy is open. There are no changes to our operation and reports otherwise are false. The State Department has no higher priority than the safety and security of Americans. Regularly reviews the security posture of the embassy. We reiterate our message that Americans should not travel to Ukraine for any reason due to the armed conflict. Let's cross. I wanted to read that before I crossed. So yeah, the U.S. denied it right away, the embassy. This is coming straight from the U.S. embassy in Kiev. Quick denial, an immediate denial. Once this video started to hit social media and everyone was saying, man, the U.S. is evacuating, the EU, the embassies there are going to stay put. Right when that statement went viral, the U.S. said, no, no, no. She is lying. She is not telling the truth. So an interesting story, an interesting development. We made it, everybody. Now let's make our way up to this church. How are we doing on time? This may be a bit of a long video. Maybe I'll try to speed it up as I walk faster as well. So we're not done with Stunning and Brave. According to Welt, the EU top diplomat also threatened Russia with devastating consequences in case of an attack on a NATO country. Now, what does the EU care about NATO, right? You're the European Union, and now you're speaking on behalf of NATO, okay? But anyway, that was her warning to Russia. Devastating consequences. Says stunning and brave. Stunning and brave and tough. And then we got the icing on top of this cake. Where we have Kallis saying that if there are going to be any negotiations taking place between the EU and Russia, the terms, the demands from Europe, according to Kallis, will be that Russia limits its armed forces, decreases its armed forces and its nuclear weapons, all of these things. That's one sec. That will be the first demand from Kallis. And the other demand will be, let's go this way and see if there's an entrance. If we can even get in, maybe we can't even get in. And the other demand from Kallis will be that, from the EU, will be that Russia withdraws troops from Moldova and Georgia. She doesn't mean Georgia, right? But that's the demand. South Ossetia, Abkhazia, Moldova, she means Transnistria. But those are the terms that she put on the table. If there's going to be any negotiations, these are my terms. Take it or leave it. The Putin can take it or leave it. Yeah, I think Russia's going to leave it. They're going to get a good laugh. First of all, they'll get a really good laugh out of all of this, and then they're going to leave it. They're probably not even going to respond to this stuff. I can see Lavrov, someone asking Lavrov or Zakharova about these statements, these demands, and I can see them just saying, whatever, next question. We're not even going to waste time addressing this stuff. So that's an update there. And one more story, and we'll wrap it up before we get to Clown World. And we are going to talk about little Napoleon positioning France as the country that will be providing a nuclear security umbrella to Europe. Yeah, that is Macron's new pet project. So what we're talking about here is Norway. Norway has now agreed to allow France to provide nuclear protection in case there's a hot war. And Norway is not alone. Nuclear Deterrence Club is what they're calling it. It's not only Norway, it's Germany, it's Poland, Greece, Netherlands, Belgium, Denmark, and Sweden, where the Green Goblin is today. So those are the countries that are in discussions with Macron and with France to provide a nuclear deterrence umbrella, nuclear deterrence club. France positioning itself as the protector of Europe. Of course, all of this is about escalating and ramping up to some sort of a conflict with Russia in the next 2-3 years. Sergei Shoigu, he issued a statement saying that it's not only Europe that is arming up and talking about nukes. It is also Japan, it is South Korea, and it is Australia. That is what Shoigu said. Japan and the Republic of Korea are preparing to host American nuclear weapons on their territory, Shoigu told the Russia ASEAN security meeting. Such weapons could also end up on the territory of Australia because of its participation in the AUKUS partnership. Look, when it comes to this whole nuclear weapons, this whole nuclear issue, all these countries ramping up their nuclear preparation and aspirations, when we're talking about this, basically, we're talking about the entirety of the collective West. There's going to be nowhere to run or to hide or to be protected. We're talking about Australia possibly getting some sort of nuclear deterrence, U.S. weapons. We're talking about New Zealand, we're talking about Japan, South Korea. If things get hot in 2-3 years, which I don't think they will, but just in case they do, there's not going to be many places to go. So anyway, I don't want to get too alarmist, but you can see the moves that are being made. But I think we'll be, I hope and pray, and I think we'll be okay. But anyway, that's Shoigu, and let's do a clown world. I wonder if I can go in. Informatsia. No. All right. Wow. Beautiful. We made it. Mission accomplished. What an amazing place. Okay, should we do a clown world? The rain is starting to come down. Today's clown world has to do with Germany. And it looks like the German authorities are now forcing X to prioritize. German media in the algorithms, because they're trying to fight disinformation, and so they want alternative news sources to be ranked lower, while the German mainstream media, the German mainstream media is pushed up. This is amazing. Amazing, unbelievable. What did I find here in Moscow? The things you find when you just walk around this city. I was going to do a clown world on Trump and Lindsey, and how Trump is supporting Lindsey Graham in a Truth Social post, but forget about it. News is over. If you want to stick with me for 5 minutes, I'll walk around. If not, thank you for joining me on this little adventure, and I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care. Tsar Nicholas II. Nikolai Vtoroy.
Памятник установлен в честь 400-летия дома Романа.
Beautiful flowers. I'm not good with flowers, but I know beauty when I see it, and those were beautiful. Lavka. Is there any breaking news? Is there any breaking news while I'm here? No, I think I covered everything. Russian oil supplies to India in May increased by 70%. The narrative that the Russian oil industry has been destroyed from the Ukrainian drones, nonsense. Absolute nonsense. Russian deputy foreign minister assessed NATO's chances of capturing Kaliningrad as zero. Zero, nada, zilch, ничего. All right. I think I will end the video there. Take care, everybody.